This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Julie DeAmmo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little chilled right now. I'm upstairs in my house taping up in my office, and I don't know why it's cold, but I'm cold. My heat probably went off the last couple of days. It's a little chilly, but other than that, it's beautiful. It's been a beautiful week, hasn't it?
Yeah,
that's really nice, and I'm loving the foliage this year. We really hit the jackpot with colors.
And I noticed that the other day because I had lunch at Mansour's with Leslie Collins and Liz Baldy. Shout out to the ladies from Scranton Tomorrow. And, of course, you know, when we go in there, Michael knows. He doesn't even have to give me a menu. He just looks at me and he goes, French dip. And so I'm like, yes, that is my favorite there. And on the way, I needed to get from there back downtown. And so I decided to go down Ash Street, you know, that enormous hill. And I was kind of laughing because that street, well, you know how steep those hills are. And I just, every time I'm there, I think about my mom telling me that, you know, she grew up in the hill section and she tells me how she went down that on roller skates as a kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I think about that, and I was noticing the beautiful foliage. It was absolutely gorgeous. All those trees in the hill section, everything was just popping. Beautiful, gorgeous. I love it. And I took some pictures today in my yard because I really love, I love when the leaves crunch under your feet and everything's bright and red. It's perfect. I kind of hope that those leaves stay where they are for next week for trick-or-treating.
You mean instead of hitting the ground?
Well, yeah, like I want, I like, there are some, there's a lot on the ground, but they're also still on the trees. And I'm
really
hoping it kind of hangs on for one more week because for photos, for Halloween trick-or-treating and the kids in their costumes, it'll just be a great backdrop, you know?
So,
we'll there was a lot of wind today, so I don't know.
There was. It was very windy. As a matter of fact, it rained here a little bit last night during the night, and it was very windy. So the awnings on my house were flapping, and I could hear the flap, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, oh, God, I hope my witch didn't fall over because I have this big, copper-colored witch like that is in, like, she's metal, and she has the metal two prongs that you know, put into the ground. And I thought, oh, God, she's going to be on the ground. I know it. So today she wasn't. But as I was pulling into my driveway, I noticed that her head seemed a little like, it seemed like her head was tilted in a way. And I'm like, is that from the wind? So I went over and I went to move it. And here the metal, this is how windy it must have been. The metal, and I mean metal, that was soldered onto the other piece snapped away from where the soldering would have been, and so it's not staying on because it pulled away due to the, which I'm assuming was the wind, because it really looks so. Anyway, I had to kind of finagle it, so hopefully it's okay. But because she's really cool, she's on a bike. And she has a witch hat and a cat in her basket in the front. And it's almost like it should be Toto trying to take off from Miss Gulch when she's riding her bike. So, but anyway, it's so cute. But, yeah, she got a good knocking over there, I think. She didn't fall, but I don't know if that snapped it or what, but. That's why I was telling you earlier, I was messing with witches in my front yard. That might be why we had some glitches.
Oh, how about
we
that?
Sure did.
I rhymed.
Which is
I rhymed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, and that just came off the top of my head.
No, not at all.
And I'm going to send you, when we hang up, Jules, I'm going to send you my witch costume picture because I know you can't find yours. We talked about that. And we talked about it last week. Aw, Julie.
It's okay.
Well, don't you have any costumes of you?
There's none right now.
Uh-huh.
We do not know where the whole bunch is. We found a whole bunch of other things, though, that were very interesting. So I think we just didn't get to the right box. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot to go through. Decades and decades of photos and, you know, stuff accumulates. So they're here. I'm not worried that they're lost in space or anything, but that particular batch we just didn't find. So sorry, everyone. We said that we would post our pictures. We'll post yours, Laura. You have to just
I do have mine.
Yep. Yeah, I know. You're very organized. Yes.
And, well, no, I just know where this is.
That's organized.
And, with my children, I am organized because they're all photo albums with all these things in it, and I know exactly where they are, so that's where organization counts and matters and makes a big difference. But this just happens to be in one of my, as I told you, my curio cabinet. I can just get my hands on it in a second, which I will when we hang up, and I will forward it to you. But it's a beautiful time. Let's hope they say next week, Julie, the Wednesday, up until Wednesday at least, they said it was going to be 70 degrees on Wednesday next week, which is the 30th, the day before Halloween.
Weird, but okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it won't be that warm during the, you know, hopefully it's not that much colder the next day, and it's a nice little
that'll be nice
day
for yeah
people.
That'll be nice yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So well, we'll hope that happens. And I have a busy weekend coming up because I have Sean and his fiance Katie will be in, my Sean, and we have a jam-packed weekend of seeing churches, and Katie's mom and dad are joining us, and churches and brunch and registering for shower gifts and going to his tasting at Epicurean for his wedding. And we have a lot and a birthday party. So I have a lot going on this coming weekend. So we'll talk about it next week. So we are going to say goodbye to this segment now and come back with Leah Giannakopoulos, who will be talking a little bit about recruiting and what it takes to become an agent these days, and same as it's always been, but the results are a little bit different. So she's going to tell us what's going to happen there, and she'll be up next. So hang on there. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel, who is our lovely producer, and Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications, and Julie will best tell you what she can do for you.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
Thanks, Jewel. And here we have the lovely Leah Giannakopoulos, who is with us. She's a realtor with ERA, One Source Realty. And Leah, there's about 80-some agents in this whole franchise of the local franchise of ERA. We have about 10 different counties and about 5 offices, so lots going on. And Leah, we thought today we would talk about, because I think it's kind of neat for people to understand how you go about, if you had the idea, hey, I'm thinking maybe I want to get into the real estate business, how you do it, what you start with, what you end up with, and then how you get to go with a broker and the recruiting end of that. So can we talk about from the get-go, hey, Leah, I want to get be a real estate agent. Tell me what to do.
Sure. So, you know, obviously I've been with ERA for, I can't even recall. Over 10 years, almost 11 years. So, and I've only been with ERA, but my famous line is the grass isn't greener on the other side. But I truly do love a brand. I love, love, love a brand. I believe that a brand behind you is a great thing. I think it gives you, first of all, it gives you a lot more confidence. And I truly am all about the brands. There's been so many ups and downs, peaks and valleys in real estate. And to have a big brand behind you to kind of guide you, show you the ropes, it's huge. Right now, too, one of the biggest things that I think ERA did great was they took a really great president of the ERA brand right now. He's young, he's 40-some, and he's amazing. I can't say enough things. He came out, he did a big visit to our company back in June. He goes out, he literally, all he does is travel and goes out to every ERA. He treats ERA like it's his baby. And I think that is what, first of all, he's revamped the brand, and he's taken it from 95 to 9,500 plus. Like that's, and he has a vested interest in ERA. And his story behind himself is great because he'll tell you he had a kid at 18. He just got up, went and got his real estate license. And then now he's the president of a big brand, because I think that shows you where real estate could really take you. You have options that are unending, you know. And even just from being in real estate, I've met so many people. But why I just went on off on this brand tangent is because when you're interviewing real estate firms, you want to see, main thing is, what is my split? Because, you know, I actually laugh when we interview people and they're like, oh, well, I was offered an 80-20. Okay, that's great. But 80% of nothing is still nothing. And if we're willing to give you maybe a 60-40 split to start, but marketing, support, staff, leads, everything, wouldn't you rather start off with something to have a start instead of, well, I'm going to go with this firm because they're going to give me 80% and then at such and such, I cap at 100%. And I always remind them, like I just said before, 100% of nothing is still nothing. So It's very important to remember why and who you're interviewing with. And I also think it's also important to remember to interview the broker, interview the managers in the office, interview the agents, talk with everybody. You don't have to commit just after one meeting because you think, oh, maybe this is a good fit. You should be interviewing the company itself, looking at the back end, looking what ERA is, you know, for example, obviously if you were to go look to become, to look at an ERA, go on the actual ERA page. See that we're owned by Anywhere Real Estate. See that Anywhere owns several big companies like Sotheby's, the Corcoran Group, Klein, Better Homes and Garden, Coldwell Banker, Century 21. We're all sister brands together of one big company. And, you know, obviously when you hear brands in real estate, those are the names you think of, ERA, Better Homes and Garden, Coldwell Banker. So I think that's important to see, too, what's behind you, not just what is your split and are you going to give me leads? Because, again, it's not about what are they giving me, but it's what can I do? Because, truly, obviously, it's your business within a business. So our thing is that we always say, if you do good, then we're doing good. We're doing our job. And that's a big thing for us. So if you're looking to get into real estate, you want to interview, we're totally open to, even if you just want to come and have an interview and you don't want to commit to anything, you do not have to commit to anything. I always say it's just maybe we can go for a coffee, meet, hear what we're about. See what our mentoring and training program is. See how we start you off. How do you get to learn the back end of our system? And what kind of marketing can we do? What are we doing to get you started? How are we getting you business? Where is this going to start? And then we're going to teach you the basics of how do you get your business? Where is it coming from? Where is your niche? What do you want to work with? We have a newer agent. He's about a year in. And, you know, he tested it all. And he absolutely loves commercial, these big warehouses. He's very, very big into commercial. And I think that's great. Now, me, on the other hand, I will do it. But I love single-family residential. I absolutely love it. I just think, and Laura, we've talked about this before. There's such a story. There's such a connection. And I always say, I'll show you 8 houses or I'll show you 800 houses. And I'm working with a couple right now that I thoroughly enjoy. Like, we have a great time. We laugh. They're an adorable couple. I cannot wait to find them a house. But you know, she's like, I feel so bad. We just don't like this house again. And she's like, and they're in a great situation. They don't have to, like, move anytime soon. But they want to because they're in one of their in-laws' rentals, and they don't want to be there, you know, because it's just, like, it's tiny for them. And they're ready to start their family. But they laugh all the time because they're like, oh, like, I feel so bad. And I was like, this is my job. This is what I'm paid to do. You're fine. But I also think that goes into how does the company, like, why do I love my job so much? Because I love the company I work for, and I love how I'm treated, and I love that I'm doing well for my company because my company is doing well for me. So I think that's also important to always interview, 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 and always remember that. And I think, Laura, yourself, when you just started out, that you interviewed several companies, and then you picked who had a better training program. And I think that's
exactly
important, too.
Yeah, the training part, again, mine was a long, long time ago. I was in Center City, Philadelphia, and I decided I'm going to go and meet with five different companies, and I'm going to pick which one I feel is the best. And because the one that I went with gave 2 weeks, mandatory 2 weeks training, and there's no pay. There was just, you had to agree to do those 2 weeks prior to. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get more training, I'm picking this company. And it was an older company. It was great. It was the best thing I ever did. So, yeah, I made sure I met with every broker and who I was going to deal with, and I wanted to know, what are you going to do for me? What is your company going to do for me? Because that was important for me to know that. This is a sales job, and if I'm going to sell, I want to know what I'm going to get back from it, because it's important that you know that, not only helping someone find the right house, but to make sure you're compensated, because everybody wants to feel appreciated. And I think that that's important as to what you're going to get out of your career, and that they can tell you that. And I will say, Leah, I've been with ERA since 2007, so I've been here a long time, and I love that, and I'm not a flip-flopper. I was with one other company first when I moved back from Philadelphia, and I was there for a brief period, and then like one shining moment, and then I went with Sunita, met with her, and Sunita had asked me to come on board years before. And so it's important to do that and to feel comfortable, and I really like it. And the training and the opportunities that are there, the you know, all of the things that are offered to an agent, it's just so important. It really is. Like you said, it's not just the split. You have to look at what, in addition to the split, what else am I getting? So, if Leah, mm-hmm. What do people have to do now? What is the protocol when someone says, hey, Leah, I want my license? What do I have to do first?
You have to go to classes. So you have to get your education, and there's an required amount of hours. And then once you pass that, you have to go take your national and your state exam. Once you take that, then you're ready to sign up with the broker. Once that, then you go through the back end. You have to have a background check, all of that. But it's not a crazy ask, I guess we could say. It's not like crazy hard. It's just, you know, you just got to get through those classes. You got to pass the first section of the classes, then the second. And then, like I said, it's all about passing that national and that state. So
it's immediate. And you find out immediately if you pass. And then it's a matter of joining the board, the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors, and paying your dues and MLS fees. Those are the fees right up front on a yearly basis. But you can make those up in no time selling properties. So it works out beautifully. So how, Leah, do you have an actual recruiter, or do you do a lot? How does Sunita do that now with the actual recruiting process?
Yours truly, no. I am someone, I like to reach out to people, especially people that I've had maybe a really good deal with, or we had a great, you know, transaction together, or I've seen them doing a really good job, and I know that maybe they've reached their potential with the firm that they're at, but maybe we can offer more. So I think that's important too. I always look, you know, I always say it's quality. Like, are they going to be a good fit? Because I really will say ERA has a nice family-like feel. And it is important about who you bring into your company and who comes into your personal space and your workspace. Because, I mean, I've spend how many hours a week at that office. So it is important that, you know, obviously we're, it's a big family together. So I do know that we are, we're always open to everyone coming in. We love taking people on that are looking to jump on board and get going. But we also have a great mentor program. We have someone that does the training. So we do have so much that they offer. So there's so much that we could do for you.
And on top of that, you have holiday parties, and there's always something going on where there's a collection to help up some type of a nonprofit in the community. There's awards night. There's so many things that Sunita does put out for her agents, and it is a really nice feel of just, it's like working anywhere else. You everybody gets together, everyone has their own schedule, people come and go from the office, and probably less people are there anymore because of, you know, with the ability to do everything remotely. But it is a really good feel when you're with everybody. You get to know all the support staff there and all the offices. I'm giving a big shout out to our Maxine is up in the Petville office, and I love her. She's one of the best, and she's always so helpful. But these people like Kimmy and everyone before, it's amazing. They're a wonderful group of people. And so if you are thinking about it, Leah, how is the best way for someone to get in touch with you or the company if someone feels like, hey, I'm thinking maybe I want to do this?
So you can reach out to me personally on my cell phone at 570-947-9250. You can call Sunita as well. Everything is strictly confidential, especially if you're looking to jump from company to company. Or if you just want to get to know us, have a call, you can always call the office too and ask for one of us at 570-587-9999. Or if you want, there is actually a spot on our ERA1.com website where it says that you're able to request a interview, always, like I said, always confidential, always between us. And then that's an email that does actually go directly to me and two of the other recruiters. So we're able to contact you back if you didn't want to make a phone call. So, or if you just want to find out more information, definitely hit us up on our website. And then, like we said, if you are interested, you can always hit the interested, looking for a career in real estate button.
There you go. Well, Leah will attest to the fact that it's a great career to have and a lot of flexibility, and it's just all the way around, it's a good thing. So, Leah, thank you for joining us today. As always, we look forward to talking
thank
to you,
you
next month. Thank you. And in the meantime, everybody else, stay tuned because we have Kathy Mihalik, who will be on speaking a little bit about retirement planning with Fidelity Bank, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel, our lovely producer. She is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications and Best Said by Jules.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Julie. And with us today for the first time is Ms. Carol Mihalik, who is a trust advisor of the Wealth Management Department of Fidelity Bank. And Kathy, welcome. We had some full disclosure. We had some technical difficulties before we were able to do this today. And poor Kathy is a trooper. I said, Kathy, you can ask any of your lovely people at Fidelity and ask them. We never this. How many times did we have to start over? Three times, Jewel?
Yes.
It was not great.
At least. No, it wasn't. Kathy, so thank you for bearing with us, honey. Thank you so much. So we're talking today. Oh, it's so good to have you. So we're talking today a little bit about retirement planning. But before we do that, Kathy, please give your background, because I got to tell you, you gals up there in that wealth management department are pretty impressive with your backgrounds and your education. So please go ahead and tell everybody your history and your background so that they know that you are a complete expert in what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on today. You are right about that. The Fidelity Wealth Management has an experienced team working, and it's my privilege to work with them. My background is I was an estate planning attorney. In that capacity, I drafted documents as an estate planner. In my capacity as a trust advisor with Fidelity Wealth Management, I serve to advise clients on trust documents and the provisions that are contained within there. But I also assist clients with retirement planning and estate planning. My background, as I said, is estate planning. I hold a law degree, but I also hold the designation of a certified trust and financial advisor. And with that comes the designation to advise clients on not only the trust provisions, but a little bit on the evaluation in terms of investments. And I work with our investment advisor within wealth management to help strategize and come up with appropriate approaches for their portfolios.
Well, I love it. And I'm very impressed by all of the individuals working there and several who have been on our show with us. And it's so good to have you with us, Kathy, and what a great background. And Kathy, I must say, I have my paralegal certification from Penn State that I got 100 years ago. And the best and my favorite part of what I had to learn and what I still love and because of my past banking experience has always been the estates and trust part of the banking world. And much as I love retail and I can sell the heck out of you, out of anything, I just love that part of it. So I'm always happy when we have people, anyone who has the expertise from your department to come on and talk about it, because this is a subject that I think is so frightening for people. Going to a bank sometimes can be frightening anyway, or that people just don't know enough about it, so they get a little leery. Knowing this part of it and wealth management and how best to help with estates, with trusts, with all that stuff, and how no one wants to talk about it because they say, it's too late, it's too much, I don't want to think about when I'm not here, but it's so necessary, and so is the ever planning of retirement. And we want to talk a little bit about that because that's what we are here to do today. So Kathy, tell us, if you would, start off by giving us some of your pointers and some of the info that you have that you feel is going to be helpful for our listeners today. So go right ahead with what you have for us.
Well, definitely. Thank you for that. Well, as we meet with clients today, a lot of them have been accumulating assets or working on accumulating assets with the goal of obviously one day retiring. So they come to us and they want to understand what the best way to start thinking about retirement is. And the biggest question people have is, will I have enough assets to retire and what does retirement look like for me? So the sooner we start investing, the better off we'll be, right? When we invest assets early, we get the benefit of compounding assets, and obviously growing our assets will help have a larger amount of assets for when we retire to start pulling from those assets to supplement our income. So as you approach retirement, you're going to start thinking about shifting from saving or accumulating your assets to spending. So one thing I would encourage people to look at is, where are you in your time horizon for retirement? Are you 20 years from retiring, 10 years, or 5 years? And depending on where you are in that cycle, you want to start thinking strategically about what steps can I take depending on where I am. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And some people are like 10 minutes away, like myself. No, I'm only kidding. I'm kidding. But it really is.
Right.
No, because some people, and I am one of those people, I just keep thinking, I can do it. And it happens where it sneaks up on you when you think, I remember, seriously, Kathy, remember 10 years ago thinking, okay, I'm 53 years old. I plan on hopefully working with the help of God till as long as I can, but I'd like to do 66 so I can get my mm-hmm. collect Social Security and be able to make as much money as I want without it affecting that. And I would hope to do that. Said, okay, good. I got 13 years. And you know what? It 10 years went by like that, and now it's 3 years from where. So it is. It's scary. So what do you tell people? Like, I mean, I think it's harder, maybe I'm wrong, to help those who weren't thinking as clearly as they should have with the plan. What can people do? I know we're going to talk about difference, but kind of shoot for the lower term. What happens when you're someone 3, 5, 4 years,
sure,
6 years
start,
away?
Yeah,
and you
start with
yeah,
that.
Start that way. Mm-hmm.
So let's just say you're 5 years away from retirement, and maybe you haven't done as much planning as you could have or should have. But the first thing I would tell you to look at is make a list of what your needs are and what your wants are, because those things may dictate differently now in terms of where you are in the time frame. So depending on what the needs versus the wants are, you may have to strategically think differently about what you want and what you need. So if you can, consider planning to increase your savings if possible based on the next 5 years. So you really should come up with a 5-year plan. What can I do differently in the next 5 years to even maximize savings? So if you haven't been contributing as much to a 401k at work, start thinking about adding to that so you can get the maximum match. If you haven't been doing it at all, obviously to start getting an employer contribution. Also, review your Social Security benefits. You can get that from Social Security and see what you think your benefit will be based on what your earnings have been, and see how that will fit into your ultimate retirement when you decide you are going to retire, and know, you know, think about at what age you're going to retire. As you just mentioned, a lot of us now, our full retirement age, our FRA, is until age 67. Are you planning on retiring at 67, and what will your Social Security look like? If you delay that till age 70, you'll also get an increase in your benefit. It'll probably go up by at least 8%. If you could afford to delay it and continue to work, that would be positive. If you want to retire at 67, you can still collect Social Security basically without a penalty. But if you decide to retire before your full retirement age and continue to work, you will receive almost like a penalty against your Social Security. So also review your accounts and what your withdrawal options will be for the best tax efficiency. Are you going to withdraw from a tax-deferred account? Or are you going to start depleting an investment account? So there are things that you can do, but you have to look at what you can live with. Have you accumulated enough, or are you going to be deficient in what I would otherwise call your retirement savings pot, or what, you know, what if you hadn't previously determined how much do I actually need to retire, you should probably figure out what that number is.
Okay.
As we know, we've determined now that when you retire, you probably need to replace your pre-retirement income with probably 70 to 80% of your pre-retirement income you still need once you retire. Now, some of it obviously will be supplemented with Social Security, and if you have any type of pension or an IRA distribution, but that's pretty much where you're probably going to need to be once you do retire.
Okay. So what about someone who's 10 or 20 years out, Kathy? What's the best thing? It's the same story, but like, how do you do that if you're 20 years out and you're still, kids are in college and you're still, or you're raising smaller children, all of that, your needs are more than maybe your wants, but what happens with that? What happens to a 20-year-out retire, a person who wants to retire?
So as I said early on, obviously the sooner we start, is the benefits of retiring, even if you're putting money away at a much lower amount, if you start earlier with the benefits of compounding, you'll be much better off when you retire. But let's just say we start 20 years from now, you want to obviously always have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of savings. So if something happens, you don't have to tap into a 401k or use a home equity line of credit. So it's always good to have an emergency fund. Then to the degree you have some extra disposable cash that you could boost and throw into a savings or an investment management account, by all means do that after you've contributed the maximum to a tax-deferred account at work, a 401k, or in addition to if you're eligible to make a contribution to an IRA or even a Roth IRA. There are limitations if you're contributing to an employer account, but those are things you can look at with your accountant, or I refer you to work with a financial advisor to help you figure out, can you also make a contribution to a tax-deferred account in addition to a 401k? And then you also want to look at your portfolio, whether it's your 401k or your outside investments. How is it positioned? Are you positioned for growth? Are you positioned for income? You know, the younger you are, you want a potentially more aggressive portfolio to capture growth as opposed to income. And that goes to your asset allocation, what your risk tolerance is. And then when you get to the 10-year bucket, it's – I'm sorry, do you want to ask a question?
No. Go ahead.
The 10-year bucket is very similar, except 10 years now you might be saying, oh, do I have to pay for a wedding? Do I still have educational expenses? Do I have a parent that I might have to take care of? So you want to contemplate what are some big bucket items that I may still have to pay for. Am I contemplating a second home? So your bucket list has changed potentially now, right, as opposed to your 20-year list. Then it's a good time to also review your estate plan. Do you have your wills, your powers of attorney, your health care proxies? Have you worked on those items? Those are important items in the 10-year from retirement, too, that you also want to reexamine. And then, again, you also want to look at, you know, reallocating your investment portfolio because your time horizon now maybe is changing in terms of when you might be retiring. Is the portfolio allocated in a way that continues to make sense? Are you still growth-oriented, or do you want to cut back a little bit, maybe change how that's invested and make some tactical changes? Again, working with your risk tolerance and your return expectations, but again, should be specifically tailored to you and working with an advisor to help you come to that asset allocation mix.
And then, Kath, how about going over those 5 points you said that you had that I think would be helpful in the little time we have left?
Sure. So there's 5 items, I think, that when you contemplate retirement that you should really look at, in addition to the items that we just talked about. First is, I don't call it first, but just generally, where are you in your time horizon for retirement? But the other things to start thinking about are estimating your expenses and create a budget. I'll go through the 5 bullet points first.
Sure.
Second would be managing your portfolio. The third is you're going to ultimately want to utilize tax-efficient withdrawal strategies for where do you want to draw the money from first. Then you also want to review your Social Security strategies. There's an optimal time or a break-even point to decide when you want to take your Social Security. For some people, they need to immediately take it at 67. Some people could wait till they're 70, and there are times to review those strategies for what makes sense for you. Are you going to continue to work? Even if you're working, should you take your retirement or should you defer it? And then there are other, you might want to look at a health savings account in terms of deferring some money to put aside to help defer future costs. And those items help to start focusing on what does retirement look like. And if you want, and we have time, I can briefly touch on what those individual items look at.
If you can do it just with what they are, we can do it. We're a little over, but that's okay. We'll take a few minutes off of ours. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I think the biggest item that if I were getting ready to retirement for me would be estimate your expenses and create a budget. I think oftentimes people think I'm going to retire and my expenses are going to go down. What we found is oftentimes they don't necessarily go down. Some expenses may go down, and some people may make a conscious decision that they want to live more frugally and they don't need as much. And maybe your commuting expenses go down or other expenses associated with your job may have decreased. But for other people, maybe their expenses are suddenly going to go up because they decided they're going to travel more or they want to do maintenance on their home that they haven't done before. Other people, their expenses went down because their mortgage is paid off. So the idea that automatically your expenses have gone down because you've retired is not necessarily true. So you should look at that relative to what you think your income is going to be in retirement relative to what your expenses are. And as a retiree, you should contemplate that you may be spending 4% as a rule of thumb from your retirement savings in terms of how much can you pull out relative to what your income needs are, and how does that look over your life expectancy, right? So your financial advisor could run those numbers for you and look at, you know, do I in fact have enough, and what do I look need to do to change that if I look like I'm going to run short?
That's a big one. Kathy, we could talk here all day about this because I love listening to this, especially because, as I just told you, I'm so, you know, the option is there for me, and it's really good to understand that. So if anybody wanted to come in and talk to you guys or just kind of get the lay of the land on what the best thing to do, how would they be able to do that? How can they get in touch with you or your the department?
Well, I'm going to give you my direct number just because that's the easiest way to get in touch at the moment, and it would be 570-504-2248. That's easier than it. Mm-hmm. And then we can certainly put you in touch with the appropriate person. I apologize, I don't have an 800 number in front of me. We tend to go directly
to
the
direct dial. Yeah, that's okay. And or call Fidelity Bank, and you can ask when one of the lovely people answer, because it's always lovely to hear a human on the other end. You can ask for Kathy Mihalik and see what she can do for you, or at least come in and talk to her. You never know what they can help you with and what your needs may be as you approach retirement and thinking of it and all that good stuff. So, Kathy, thank you so much for your wealth of information from Wealth Management. So thank you.
Well, thank
you for that. And we hope you come on in here and talk to us again, because I think there's lots more we could talk about. So have a great weekend, Kathy. Again, thank you. And everyone else out there, have a great weekend. We thank you so much for listening, as always. Have a good one. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.